Welcome to the Fabulous at 50 podcast, where we are changing the aging narrative. I'm your host, Joanne Newaduck, and I'm thrilled to bring you stories that matter and celebrate your place in the world. As an advocate for lifelong learning, health, and women's empowerment, I believe it's never too late to live the life you've always imagined. Through lively and informative interviews with inspiring guests, we'll explore a wide range of topics relevant to our global sisterhood of vibrant, inquiring women just like you. Join me for today's episode and let's start changing the aging narrative together. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Have I got a treat for you? I just want to share that just over a year or so ago, I was at an event and I had a display table. And at the very next table, there was this woman that just had such a gorgeous, exuberant energy. And we became fast friends. I just really just love chatting with her. And I am thrilled to introduce you to Susie. Susie, welcome.
Thank you so much. And your words are so kind. Thank you. Oh. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I am thrilled. And just before we launch into our conversation, I'm just going to take a little excerpt from your bio. And anyone listening or watching today, please go into the show notes. There's always extra information. And Susie's bio will be in there and some extra information on how you can contact her. But what I understand is that when Susie turned 40, she was It was both welcoming and a wake-up call for her. She really wasn't sure what to expect in life at this point. And, you know, what she knew was that she wasn't where she wanted to be yet. And she spent a decade discovering herself, working and caregiving, and then realized that midlife can be a bitch. And that's a bit what we're going to be talking about today. And she was not going to let this midlife bring her down. So she really turned things around. And today you're, you know, significantly past that initial turning point, but you're really living your best life now. And I'm so thrilled that you're here today to share that with me. And I know you share that with a multitude of clients as well.
Yes, thank you. I am living my best life because I'm in control of what it is that I want to do, where it is I want to go, how I want to show up. I'm not living by other people's expectations and wants. You know,
that's a big shift.
It is a huge shift because we're raised, especially us women, we're raised that we have to do things in a certain way and certain expectations. And we live in that guilt of disappointment if we don't do that, right? That shame, that guilt. So yeah, it took me a long time to overcome all of that. But I'm happy that I'm here.
Absolutely. And I want to dive into that a bit. I love that, you know, for you, you had a real turning point at 40. Mm-hmm. You did a lot, but then again, I understand there was like around 50, and that's often what we talk about is like 50 and beyond, that there's another big shift. That's when you actually, from your bio, it's like at around 50-ish, you were like, oh my gosh, this midlife is a bitch. I don't know, like, was it perimenopause? Was it just the mindset? Like everything kind of went, whoa, what the heck is going on here?
It was a combination of things for me. Yeah. It was like my past life and how I was living and showing up. And then it was also, it's like, what have I done with my life? Where am I going? Like, I always thought I would get married and have kids and, you know, live the life that we're expected to live. And that obviously for me did not work, did not show up. And I'm like, now what? So if I'm turning 50, I'm learning a lot about myself and what I, you know, like and what I don't like, and I'm making those changes. But it's like I really don't want to do what I've been doing for my whole adult life. Yeah. And that's when I kind of went, to hell with this. I'm doing things my way. And if you like it, come on board. If you don't, see ya.
And this is the energy I love. So I'm curious, what then happened? Because obviously you had to change your course, right? Like what you were doing prior to that, you thought that was, you know,
well, yeah,
what was going to work. You were discovering yourself. But once you discovered yourself, you went, what the heck? This isn't quite what I want. And then what did you do?
So I worked in the corporate world for many years.
Yeah.
And then, I said, I'm going to be a life coach. And I got my certification and everything. And then it's just like, oh, I'm not making money at this. And the old fears and everything started coming back in. So I jumped back into the regular job, just like everybody else, because you need money to survive, right?
Yeah.
And
for
many people,
that is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. But I wasn't happy. Yeah. I went back to doing what it was that I wasn't happy doing. And it wasn't until just before COVID that I realized that I'm sitting in an office and I go, I hate this life. Oh. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and for me, COVID was a blessing in disguise because that was the time that my father turned for the worst. So I really needed to be home with him.
Right. Yes.
And that's where I kind of fell back into making a difference, not only for me, but for others. And I took in that coaching side of me again. And I said, this is it. It's now or never. But I refuse to set foot into a corporate situation again for me, because I might as well just slit my wrists open, because it just sucks the life.
Wow.
I'm being honest. It sucks the life out of me.
Yeah. And you're somebody with so much life. You need that, right?
Yeah.
I want to pick up, I'm just going to take a little side tour here. With your father, that is a huge shared experience of people in midlife and predominantly women, not excluding men that become caregivers, but predominantly women are the caregivers, often a sandwich generation, you know, for many women that do have children. But at some point in time, our parents will get older and more frail. I just went through that a year. It's been a year and a half now, I guess. Yes, a year and a half. And so, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm just curious, what was that experience like for you? Because you did say it was a blessing. And I found for me, it was also, in a sense, it was a blessing at the time. I was so grateful to have the flexibility. I kept going, what if I had a job that was 9 to 5 and I didn't have the flexibility to go and care for him? Like the 2 months I stayed with him and he had to get up, you know, he was being discharged from hospital, but we hadn't set him up. Where is he going? He can't live independently anymore. Because I find that when the slippery slope starts after a certain age, it's like, it's so fast. It's hard for them to come back. So I'm just wondering if you could share a little bit of that experience for you and the mindset you had around it.
Well, for me, it actually goes back to a point when I was really young. I can't remember exactly what my age was, but it was around 6.
Okay.
And something inside of me said, my parents will never go into an old age home.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young. I don't know why I said that, but I looked at my mom and said, I will always take care of you.
Aww.
Right? And I you grow up and you kind of forget about it. But when dad and mom, like, they've always lived with me. So when he was starting to get really bad, I'm like, okay, I can bring somebody in and have them help. But my parents are of the type where it's like, they don't want anybody that they don't know, right?
Yeah.
It's Susie. Susie has to be the one, which made me feel angry at first, because that was putting a lot of pressure on me.
It does.
But at the same time, the experience of being there with him, I've learned more about him.
Yeah.
And when he did pass, I realized that I'm more of my father's daughter than I ever thought before. I thought I was my mom's daughter. Like I was more like my mom, but now it's like, nope, I'm really like my dad.
So it really brought you closer together.
It did. Yeah.
Is your mom still?
He was so cute. Like I wish everybody could meet him. I could have met him.
I am sorry for your loss. Is your mom still alive?
Yes, my mom is 90.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. No, and it's, I just found that I know with what you do with your work and what I do with my work too, is it's all about the mindset, right? It's how do we shift? You can be doing the same thing. So you can be doing this work of caregiving, but if the mindset is around this is a burden, that is very different than when we can shift into that mindset of this is a blessing. And a lot of that also depends, I find, on is it going to be long-term? Caring for somebody, say, that has dementia and it's long-term and it's like a 10-year, that can be have a different draining aspect or it has its own challenges versus when my dad became unwell, I knew we had less than a year. So it was, this is a blessing to be there. He did eventually go into a very nice care center because his house wasn't set up enough to be able to care. Like he got to a point where he couldn't care. But what was beautiful was he was able to gain a few months of independence. And you know, that I think he wouldn't have had just being at home kind of with maybe one other person in the house. So it expanded, you know, and then it also allowed us to move into being a daughter versus always the caregiver. So there's no right experience, right? And I imagine that's also what you bring to your clients. There's no one right answer, right?
No.
So what I'm curious about is, let me ask you a question this way. Is like, what do you believe in and what do you stand for? Like that, like I know you're taking a big stand for women and your clients now. Like how would you communicate that to people?
It's the relationship that we have with self. I stand for the relationship that we have for ourselves, because when we show up for us and what it is that we want and where it is that we're going, we're showing ourselves love. Self-love is huge.
Absolutely.
And when we can do that automatically, instantly, effortlessly, we're giving more to others around us without even noticing.
Yeah.
You know, we women do not put ourselves first.
Yeah. It's like putting the oxygen mask on. You can't help people if you drain yourself to the point of total depletion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is this first shift in our mind that we need to do. It's like, oh, okay, I know the kids need me. And yes, they do. But you also need you to be healthy, to be well, in order to take care of them.
Absolutely.
You know, it's if we're lagging, they are.
I know that so well from years of, you know, with three kids. And wouldn't you find, like, sometimes it's, and it's not always, it can be the caregiving role. There are times we have to suspend our needs, but and it doesn't mean you ignore somebody that needs your immediate need. It's that you build in your time to care for yourself. So, and I know,
exactly.
So what I want to interject right here is that because of, I loved your exuberance and we're on the same kind of line. We do mindset work and positive thinking and work with clients in very different ways, but we absolutely agree on the same sort of outcome, shall we say, is we were thrilled, myself and Dr. Andrea, putting on the Radiate Your Best Life, the Women's Health and Wellness Symposium on April 27th in Calgary. This is 2024. Just get the year. Just in case someone's listening to this way into the future here. We were thrilled. Yeah. We were looking down because like all of our sponsors were basically handpicked and invitation only. We sold out in a week. We didn't have to put it out there to the world. And you came up. Absolutely is, because we wanted somebody in each of the areas of, like, you know, health and nutrition and mindset and movement. And we're thrilled that you're going to be a sponsor and you're going to be on stage talking. Without giving everything away, what will you be talking about? What will you be sharing a little bit? Let's entice some people from the Calgary area to come join us.
Right? I'm going to be talking. Fly in, right? Come, just come. I'm going to be talking about the beliefs that we hold.
Yep.
What are they? Where do they come from? Why do we have them? Right? Because those beliefs really can squash our sense of being.
Yeah.
And being aware of what it is that we are believing in, mm-hmm. is so important. That, you know, that just that little tidbit is an eye opener when we look at it, go, that's not even that belief. I didn't even create that belief, right? Somebody else impressed that upon me. Like we have to get married and have kids and stuff like that. Like that is somebody else's ancestral belief. Great. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy. I wanted that myself, but it didn't happen. So the belief that I created because that didn't happen was I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
I love that. Let's say it in stereo. That is not true.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to be talking about.
Love it.
A lot of women out there, even the most successful of women, there's always that little voice in the back of their mind that's going, yeah. But
yeah,
what if?
Yeah. I call that the itty bitty nasty committee. I often say a different word, but you know, we'll keep it clean today.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. I wholeheartedly agree with you. And I know that you do this like in like the holistic, this is what's going on in my life. I do a lot of that more around health and wellness, right? Like the belief on, you know, oh, well, it's just because I'm getting old. And it's like, no, it's not just because you're getting old. Because if it was just because you were getting old, everybody would have the same issue. And it's not. It's because there's an imbalance in your body and we can correct that. So, which is phenomenal. Now, one of the other things that I think, are you going to have those wonderful little books or journals at the event?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little bit about that. I actually meant to have mine here and hold it up. It's just, I don't buy journals and books because I'm like, some people are drawn to writing. I do a lot of more introspective thought processing. I don't always have to write it out, but I was drawn to your book. It was very cool. And it was a lovely green, similar to my, you know, maybe not quite. It was a more sagey green. This one's a little more mossy. So
green for spring is green for spring.
So that's right. Yeah. And it was last spring. I think that's why I bought it. Tell us about this book and the purpose and how that came about.
So my whole studying of my journey in becoming who it is that I am today has a lot to do with being grateful. And it has a lot to do with writing out what my goals are. So, yeah, I had a whole bunch of books going on, like a lot of different pieces of paper here and there. And I'm like, well, let's put this all together into one book. And it's just a great way to just wake up and just start, you know, saying what you're grateful for the night before. What are your intentions for the next day? Like, what do I need to get done? And then there is the page, like, if you want to journal, you journal. If you only want to take notes on something, throw the notes in. And the end of the day, it's sort of like, well, how did I do? So we're starting off on a high note, and then we're going to close the day off as well. Like, did I do my movement? Did I have fun? Because it's important that we have fun every day, you know, and all these little things. So for me, it's a 3-month journal, but there's 4 of them because each journal have different quotes.
Love it.
And different colors represent the different seasons.
Love it.
So yeah, that's how I came to be an author. I started writing my journal and everything like that. And I've got other projects that I'm working on.
Beautiful. You do. And I, if I'm not mistaken, in addition to our fabulous Radiate Your Best Life on April 27th, you also have an event coming up, I think, in October.
October 17th to the 20th in 2024. It's the Gentle Whispers Retreat. So we have facilitators speaking on all about the past, bringing out our inner child. The way I foresee it is that we are all going to go in and rekindle our relationship with the little girl inside of us and heal any past wounds. And then we're going to celebrate her and we're going to party and just have a good time. Most important, it's a time for women to just be. You know, there's a little bit of yoga. There's a little bit of, you know, silent hikes, gentle walks and releasing breath work. There's so many things that are going to go on that weekend. I'm so excited about it.
Beautiful. Well, that is amazing. And we're getting close to the end of our time. So what I'd like to ask you right now is, can you share maybe you already did this a little bit before, but just you can reiterate things if you want. Just three kind of pearls of wisdom or takeaways that you really would like women to understand.
So, you can create boundaries that are loving and supporting for yourself, first and foremost. And when you believe in those boundaries will be respected from those around you. First, you have to respect them yourself. So if you're going to say, no, I'm not doing this, you got to stick to that.
Yes.
And then it's seen by other people, right? And when you start to create those loving boundaries, people follow, all of a sudden it's like, I know what my purpose is now. And is it big? Is it small? Whatever. Your purpose is yours and you can live it freely because you've set yourself up for it.
Love it. So that, okay, I want to make sure. 1, 2, 3. Tell me, the first one is?
Oh, the first one is setting up your boundaries. Yeah. Respecting them, right?
Number two.
And you're teaching others to respect
that. Okay.
Right? And then you rise up in your purpose.
I love that. Okay. So set the boundary and really it's about you first. Setting your boundaries to you first. Secondly, establish it so everyone else knows this. Mm-hmm. And third, then you get to rise up and into that, it just
naturally opens up, you know, your vibration, your purpose. All of a sudden, it's like you're like, oh, that's an idea, or you're just living. Yeah,
beautiful. I love that, Susie. It is amazing to have you on today, and I really encourage people to go and check out the show notes. There will be a little summary there. There'll be your bio. I think you have a little gift, like a free gift for people if they want.
Yeah, I have a little freebie for everyone. And what you do is just click on it. All it is some information about how you want to live the last part of your dash.
Oh, right? We're born, we die.
So we've already used up a good portion of our dash. What are you going to do with the last half?
Oh my gosh. I've heard about the dash before, but it's true. We have, unless you're a child, you have used up a good portion of your dash there. So, wow. Well, I'm so looking forward to hearing your talk on the 27th. And thank you for being one of our sponsors, because health and wellness and our mindset and how we're living our life is a huge part of our health and wellness. And that could be a whole nother conversation. Maybe later in the year, we'll have you back on.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. But before you leave, I'm curious, what pearl of wisdom are you taking away from today's episode? I do hope it held some inspiration or information for you to live your best life. If you are not yet part of our sisterhood, I invite you to join our community by visiting our website, fabulousat50.com. and you'll receive a free copy of our ebook, Make Mind Fabulous, 21 Ways to Energize Your Life. It is packed with loads of tips and tricks. Plus, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review to let us know what you think. Remember, keep choosing fabulous. It's never too late to live the life you deserve. Catch you on the next episode.